Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Yeah.
Yo. Damn,
yeah. Haters ain't fond of me, that shit don't bother me. It ain't no stopping me, constantly dodging hypocrisy. I just be flawing so properly, showing the modesty, overly effortless. Flow with a preference, only to show you the regimen. Cope with the specimen, I'm simply admitted. They know that my shine is indefinite. Feed them the flow like it's medicine. Freak what I sell like a benefit. Silence the desolate pessimist. Flow is so holy, turn Muslim to Methodist. I've been so relentless, I've been on a mission. I've been killing shit, but no one seems to get it. I've been dodging drama, trying to find a witness. Watch this, I go hide my title on the victim. Young nigga flow so hard, that's what she said. The masterpiece read, you have to be actually rapping. The past is a massive effect, the smash to respect. It pays to be humble, but it's okay to be humble, cause I will blatantly burn you. Don't think I will rage in a rumble. Come through when I blaze like a sun. With more tenacious when I'm scorching stages, I perform and formulate a corporate.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm sorry for that fade there. It was kind of weak. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, tonight we have a tremendous lineup for you. You know, we've got the main card happening for King of the Cage, July 8th. And I'll tell you what, this is going to be one hell of a fight. We've got Vince Murdoch versus Juan Archuleta. And if you look at life and you look at these two fighters, they're both on the rise. They both have a point to prove. It's going to be a tremendous outing for both of them. You know, it's going to work in the best interest of each fighter, you know, seeing how this fight plays out. But our first guest for the night comes from where I'm from, the 916. Not originally, but that's where he's at now. He's had a Team Alpha Male, and that being Vince Murdoch. Vince, welcome to the program.
Hi, man. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Oh, I'm honored, man. You know, you look at July 8th, the chosen few with King of the Cage. What did it mean for you to get this fight with Archuleta? You know, what were your thoughts?
You know, when I was offered the fight, I never really thought about it because, you know, the guy is close with a lot of guys on the team out here, but at the same time, he's not a part of the team. So when they offered me the fight, I was like, fuck, man, this is – you know what I mean? I didn't really think he was anything special or nobody that I couldn't beat if I, you know, trained properly for the fight. So I was like, man, this really feels like, you know, a good opportunity for me to beat, you know, obviously probably one of the best prospects in the, you know, in the nation. And I feel like I match up well with this in particular fight. You know what I mean? He's the perfect kind of matchup that I would look for, you know what I mean, in a tough opponent, right? So I've trained with the guy a little bit. He's been out here and I just I was excited. I'm just excited for the opportunity more than anything, and you know, really confident coming in to this fight or leading up to this fight. So just excited, just really excited and happy to get the opportunity and just hope to capitalize on the moment.
Yeah, you know, why wouldn't you be? I mean, here you're looking at a three-time division champion in three different weight classes, and you get the opportunity out of thousands of fighters out there that would be willing to step into the octagon with him, and you get that opportunity. You know, you look at your career, and you're quite a tremendous fighter yourself. You know, so this fight is something that you truly deserve. You know, one fight of yours that kind of caught me in awe was the Daly fight. You know, in KOTC Supremacy. You know, I looked at a lot of footage on your career, and to me, that fight right there was kind of a growing up, a defining moment for Vince Murdoch. Would you say that was a fair assumption?
You know, it's been a while since I had to fucking bite down on my mouthpiece. He wasn't anything spectacular other than the fact that he came out of the gate guns a-blazing, trying to take my head off. And I knew it was something I was going to have to weather just regardless. You know, you get a guy in there, you know what I mean? He was going to come after me. So it's been a while. I've been playing it safe here and there as far as the striking. And you know, in my younger days, I didn't have a lot of striking background. So I would wrestle or I'd resort to things that were safe. On this fight, I had to bite down a little bit. I had to get hit, and I had to, you know what I mean? I had to take some hits. There was no you know. So it was good to I wouldn't say it was me growing up, but it was kind of reminding me to you know what I mean, that it's time to be a gangster and bite down and you know, let them hands go, and you're in a fucking fight, you know what I mean? So yeah, I wouldn't say I was growing up, but it was more of like just a reminder, you know.
Just how hard some people can hit, you know, makes you, well, wait a minute there, you know. Well, it kind of resonates. I mean, you're a Michigan boy, and, you know, there's only two things that come out of Michigan, and that's gangsters and fighters. And, you know, you look at you, and you truly are a tremendous fighter. You made your way to the 916, Team Alpha Male. How did that occur for Vince Murdoch?
You know, I was fortunate enough to link up with Darren Cruikshank out of Michigan, and you know, the guys are you know, I cherish our relationship very much, and he got on the Ultimate Fighter, the live season, the only live season, I believe. Well, I think it was season 15, and Faber was the coach. You know, I went out to Vegas for that, and I was fortunate enough to meet Faber and some of the guys on the team and watch Darren, you know, win his way into the UFC. So after that, he was like, hey, why don't you come check out our gym in Sacramento? And then for the longest time, I'd be bugging Darren, like, you know, I'm like, hey, man, let's go check out, you know, California. Like, I'm not really doing anything. And I was still an amateur at the time. And I was like, let's go. You know, I didn't even have any plans probably turning pro at the time, I don't believe. I was like, hey, let's go to Cali. Let's do this. You know, like, let's go just see what it's like, you know, just for 2 weeks or like a little camp or something. I'd be on them and on. And I, you know, finally was able to get him to go. We drove out there. It was a fucking really, really long trip. I think I drove the entire way just cause I was too nervous to let him drive. So, but, we made it. And then, you know, I realized when I got there that I wasn't really that far behind. If not, I could hold my own against these guys. They weren't anything, you know, when you're at a smaller team with, you know, and then you go to a team where you see all the guys on TV, you imagine them to be, you know, just a super force or super team or, you know what I mean, athletes, but they're just normal people. And, you know, I didn't feel like I was far behind them, but they had everything that I wanted to be, or they were where I wanted to be. So I think in the law of attraction sort of played a thing like that. I just wanted to surround myself with you know, people that were in the position that I wanted to be in. And there was John Kofer, who happened to be out there, also from the show. He needed a roommate, and I originally planned to just stay out there till, you know, my pro debut, which this is the reason why I opened up my eyes and turned pros, because I was fighting, you know, I was training with all these pros, and I wasn't, you know, there wasn't much of a difference. So I trained out there till my pro debut, and I just never left. That's just how it happened. I didn't plan on it. I planned on being out there for 3 months, and you know, and I just never came home, basically.
Yeah, you know,
so that's how that happened.
It's kind of that way. You know, you look back at my early days with Team Alpha Male, and you know, they were tremendous leading up into Road to the Octagon, Faber versus McDonald, like we talked about before we went live. And you know, Uriah Faber is one tremendous, tremendous cat. You know, it's like, here I am, and I had a little disagreement with Dwayne Ludwig, because I wear a prosthetic, and he made me hop on the mat with one leg and do the photo shoot, because I didn't bring any shoe covers, and he wouldn't let me walk on the mat. And so I did this shoot, and at the end of the shoot, I was getting ready to put my prosthesis back on, and Uriah called me over. He says, where are you going? I said, bro, I'm done. He said, sit down, man. You're part of the family. And I sat through one of the team meetings at the end of practice. And one thing I took away from that was the family environment. Would you say that those meetings at the end of training have helped you evolve in more ways in life than just being a fighter?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny that you speak about that, and I'm glad I got to talk to somebody that has kind of seen that, because I think that's what attracted me the most. It's not so much how great the training is. Don't believe me. These guys out here, we train hard, and the coaching we get's great, but it's the atmosphere that Uriah has created for all these fighters and me. There's a reason why so many people travel to come here, and we got Clay. These guys are just coming from all these camps, is because the way of life, the way they think, and the way they live and treat and carry themselves outside of the gym is just as important as you know, what you guys all see on TV and stuff. So, yeah, the talks, the motivation, it really is, you know, sort of like Uriah is sort of like a life coach too. You know, he does a great job of, you know, reaching in and you know, speaking to you on a different level and, you know, finding ways to be more productive outside of just training. And, you know what I mean? He really kind of heightens your senses and stuff like that. He'll pull you aside after practice if you see something. He's just a guy that's created a really good atmosphere for, you know, all the athletes that walk into that gym. And it's very open and very warming to anybody that wants to be a part of the team, you know. So, yeah, I would think that played a huge role.
Yeah, you know, it was unusual for me because you see these guys of tremendous talent. You got, you know, at that time you had Chad Mendez was just coming up. Andre Feely was just coming up. You had Chris Holdsworth getting ready to go into Tufts.
Joseph, TJ.
Yeah, it was crazy. But there, you know, it was almost like everybody checks their egos at the door. And that's one thing that
exactly.
I found tremendous about Team Alpha Male. Now, would you say that looking at the young talent such as Tyler Diamond, Benito Lopez, and then you go back to the old school aspect of TAM, would you say that the correlation of all those fighters has prepared you for this next war?
How do you mean?
Let me rephrase. Yeah, looking at the old knowledge, the old wisdom, the grit and the grind fighters that still maintain their place in the sport today, and then you have the new bucks that are in the gym, you know, with the new era attitude and the new style, you know, would you say a combination of both of them has truly grounded you and helped propel you in the direction that you need to be?
Yeah, I would say seeing both sides is definitely, I would say I'm privileged to be able to witness, you know, I mean, Favors fucking, he's retired now. How cool is it? You know, a guy doesn't hardly train like, he, you know what I mean, in the practices like he used to. So just being able to be a part of like that old era, you know, where all the guys were on the team, the original guys and stuff, and now to be a part of the, you know, I'm still only 25 or 20, I just turned 26, Jesus. But, you know, still be young enough to enjoy with some of the other young guys coming up on the team and being a part of this new era, I would definitely say, it has helped the transition. I would like to say it's, I don't want to say hybrid, but like a new style, like you said, it's not the same kind of grinding. There's a new, everybody's good in the sport, you know what I mean? Everybody's got to know everything, and it's just the sport has evolved so much. So I do believe, you know, watching it kind of evolve there has been huge, you know, and seeing all the guys, like you said, Diamond and Benito and them come up and with their, you know, new energy and, yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. You know, looking forward to July 8th, you know, this is set to probably be one of your biggest fights to date. This fight right here, as you emulated earlier, if you do come out victorious, it could propel you, you know, not just nationally, but worldwide into a major market, a major promotion. You know, with that being said, what have you done in thought and training or anything in that matter to emulate or prepare yourself for this upcoming war?
I mean, from what I remember about Juan and what I know and from what I've seen is that the guy's just going to show up in great shape and try and take me down and lay on me or just, you know, stay busy and just a lot of pressure, get me tired, whatever, you know, that's all I can think of. And at the end of the day, I try not to get too caught up in what he's going to do and focus on the things because it's a fight, and I'm just going to do what I know how to do, and that's fight. I'm not a decision guy, so I'm going to be looking to finish the fight as fast as possible. You know what I mean? So I like to think I'm a heavy hitter, and I'm going to come out there slinging. And I've been getting ready for wrestlers and being at a wrestling camp and Team Alpha Male being full of good wrestlers. Like I've been dealing with those guys, like, for the last 6 years, not to mention I've been wrestling all my whole life. So I just feel like this is a fight that I've already been getting ready for forever. I mean, sure, I just got to have a few more guys take a bunch more shitty shots on me or shots. Guy by no means is like a technician, but he's a grinder for sure. But I like to think that I have the tools to beat this guy and put him away. Like if it goes to a decision, that sucks. But I don't see it going to a decision. Fucking hate decisions. I've been to two in my career, I believe.
Right, and Marion Renault is a prime example of that. You know, in UFC Brazil when she fought Beth Correa, you know, everybody knew she won the fight, and yet they considered Beth winning the fight by a takedown, and that's one reason why you don't ever let it go to the judges.
You never know what the fuck those guys are thinking.
No, because sometimes they're on more crack than the people in the corner.
You know,
sometimes on my show, well, not sometimes, all the times, man, I'll be honest with you, they call me the Barbara Walters of MMA. I took it in a bad way at first, but, you know, it's kind of a good thing, I guess, the way they describe it. I'll take it and leave it at that. But, you know, when you look at life, you know, you look what you do now, and you're set for July 8th. But on my show, I like to show both sides of the fighter, what everybody sees in public and on television, and then a certain aspect of their life to a point that they're willing to share. So when you look at life as Vince Murdoch, what type of person were you growing up? And was mixed martial arts always a presence in your life, or did it become a thought later on in your years?
Man, growing up, I was, you know, stuck like a lot of kids in a divorce. You know, I mean, at a very young age, my parents, I was traveling a lot. Between the houses, I switched high schools like six times. I had three MIPs before I even graduated high school. So I would say MMA sort of got me out of that, or wrestling in general. I would say I started with wrestling, and then I went for my last hurrah in high school my senior year, and I got another MIP, and they cut sports for my whole senior year. So I started fighting as a senior in high school with no intentions of turning pro at all, like zero. Like, I just did it because I thought it'd be cool to have my friends come out and watch me fight at bars. And, you know, I've always enjoyed, I'd like to say competing, but the bottom line is, man, I can't remember a time when I was not fighting something or for something, or just trying to prove that I was, you know what I mean, better than the next person or whatever. That's always been my main focus. And you say what you want, but that's just how I came up. And so MMA has been sort of something I feel like has saved me and many athletes, and has given us an outlet to put into something a little more positive. Because you know what I mean, if I had a fight coming up, I couldn't be going out partying, hanging out with the wrong crowds. And eventually I started surrounding myself with people from the gym and better people. And you know, the way I've always been is, like, if someone's better than me in the gym, it's like I had to be better than them. So eventually, like, you know what I mean? That's just how it kept escalating for me until I turned pro. And I had like 20 something amateur fights. And at the time I was running out of people to fight, and then people were pulling out, and I was like, fuck it, man, I'll just turn pro. And I never even thought, like, I don't even remember how it happened, but I just remember thinking, like, I'm going to be a professional athlete. Like, there's no way. You ask any of my school teachers or anybody that ever thought I was going to do anything, and they would be like, me, and you know what I mean, the professional athlete, in any, you know, way, they would laugh. And you know, it's been a saving, it's my saving grace. So yeah,
I could appreciate that. You know, I'm kind of going to bust your chops a little bit, because you know, you posted it, not me. I don't know if you posted it or somebody tagged you in it. But I kind of want to talk about this picture you got on your timeline there, bro. You know, I look at Tyler Bishop. I look back at Respect 3. He came out in an outrageous fashion, and he was deemed the rock star of BJJ. And then I go to your timeline, and I see this picture of you, buddy, wearing some tighties, and a red, white, and blue scarf, and all kinds of hilarious attire.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the thought perception behind that photo, bro?
So I was fighting a Canadian, TJ Lermy, and I was about to go weigh in. I just made weight, and I forget what the caption says, and I just thought it was a really cool photo after that. But So I was fighting a Canadian, and I thought it'd be funny to just have this, like, all-American fucking get-up. and, like, you know what I mean? I'm weighing in our underwear anyway, so whatever. And, you know what I mean? So I just had my buddy Darren, he just armed me full of fucking, you know, all these guns and ammo and all this American gear. I mean, I'm a very patriotic person, so I just, I forget what the caption was about, but I just remembered I was, you know, I was going to, you know, in my head, I was going to fight a Canadian. So it's like, it's, you know, America, what's up, you know? And then this fight too, you know, Juan calls himself the Spaniard. Well, I might just come out to the American, whatever, you know what I mean? It's going to be July 8th, close enough to the 4th. You know, let's make some noise. Bound to be fireworks, that's for sure.
I feel you there. You know, I like busting chops every now and then because it's funny to have a whimsical side of a, you know, because that's, you know, most people don't get that opportunity to see those moments in your life where they're not friends with you or they don't follow your career thus far. And then, you know, now you come on the show and you'll gain new fans and people look at you in a different retrospect because you truly are getting ready for a tremendous war on July 8th. You know, you talk about Juan's style, you talk about Juan's ability. You know, when you look at the fight in hindsight, do you see any characteristics that you yourself, you know, will benefit from? Not that I'm asking you to explain to the listeners or anybody, you know, that matters. I'm just, in the back of your head, do you look at this matchup as something stylistically that you truly are prepared for?
I believe that I've been getting ready for a fight like this since I've started competing. The guy, I've trained, like, we come from a wrestling camp. This guy's, I'm not saying, I don't know, I mean, I believe he's good. I know he's good. And if I don't beat him, I didn't deserve to beat him or whatever, but I'm confident. You know, I'd never take a fight that I didn't think I could win. He doesn't have anything that I haven't, you know, that I haven't seen before. He's training with TJ and Dwayne and gonna, you know, probably try and throw some fucking dumb switch stuff at me, but you know, I mean, I'm gonna be gunning for him, so I gotta stop his takedown, you know, in my eyes. Do I know if he's gonna try and stand with me? No, but you know, that'd be the that'd be the better thing, I would hope. But you know, I'm just prepared for wherever it goes, you know, that to be prepared for. So if anything is a factor, it's cardio, and that's something I've also been working really, really hard on and making sure it's going to be up to par for this fight. So I'm more than confident coming into this fight. I'm not going to really talk trash and act like I know him because I don't. I don't know Juan, and I haven't seen him in like 2 or something years. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm just hoping for a good fight, and you know what I mean? And I'm just really confident coming in. That's all I know.
You know, and that's well said, you know, because I wasn't trying to get you to talk trash because that's one thing I don't like myself either because I think the world has enough Conor McGregors, and I'm sorry if you take this wrong, but they also have enough Cody Garbrandts, you know, and, you know, I think that diminishes the capacity of the sport. You know, well, the reason I say that, and I apologize to anybody that I offend, it's just I truly admired Cody Garbrandt. I really did, and when he gave Maddox his belt, to me it was a tremendous day in the sport. It showed me that some of these new era fighters had heart, they cared about where they came from, and then you watch Tough, and it just kind of just turned me off. It was almost like, you know,
yeah.
Two kids got, you know,
on
fighting
that.
On the schoolyard.
If I could touch on that, touch, you know, on that and maybe change your mind and hopefully some listeners to feel that way. I know Cody well, and I know the show is always going to try and twist it to make one guy look worse than the other. I tell you that right now. Cody is a great guy, and he does care very deeply for a lot of people and where he's came from, and he's, you know, he's religious. He goes to church every Sunday, and I'm not saying it makes everything that he does right or all his actions right. By no means is he perfect, but if you know the guy personally, he's, you know, I Cody lived with me when he first moved out here. And you know what I mean? I was his first cornerback from his first fight when he hadn't fought in over a year. You know, he let me into his home and made sure I had everything I need. I think the show sort of made him out to be someone that he necessarily isn't. As far as his, you know, his actions go, Cody's always just, I won't say he's a hothead, but he, when it comes to fighting, like, that's, you know, that shit's serious to him. If he, you know what I mean? Like, he's not one to kind of tiptoe around things. Like, if he has a mindset, if he's going to fight you, we're not friends. And he's like, I'm, you know, like, we got to fight at the end of the day. Like, that, there's, you know what I mean? He's not someone that can do it like that, or that's not how he chooses to do it, which is fine. But I get what you're saying, and I understand. But you know, don't let the, you know, don't like it's like the news, man. Don't let that stuff fool you or convince you of you know what I mean, anything otherwise, man. The guy's he's a great kid, and you know, I'm happy to know him and be a part of all the great things that he's doing, and yeah. He's a good man.
Well, see, I'm glad that you clarified that, because, you know, as with most people, I haven't seen Cody in quite a while. And, you know, you look at, you know, some other fighters in the sport, and they've transitioned to this new era hype that they believe is going to get them the bigger paydays, the bigger paychecks.
Yeah, of the trash talking and whatnot.
Yeah. And it may in the beginning, but eventually, you know, that all fizzles out just with, you know, with every other phase in life. And then you're left holding the bag looking like Conor McGregor, like an ass. You know, people can say, well, Don, say that, but he's going to make $117 million off this next fight. Yeah, you know, to me, I would rather be rich in my heart than rich in pocket. You know, that's just the way I've lived my life. I've come from the projects. I haven't had the most in the world, and I've always given back to the sport and everybody that matters. And I'm glad you cleared that up, because that truly makes a whole lot of sense now. You know, now moving forward.
Look at it. If I could just say one more thing, if you look at anything like the show, for instance, or what we do, I mean, obviously, to me and anyone else that competes, it's a fight, and we need to and us as athletes need to understand that it's a fight for us. But for the crowd, I mean, it's a spectator sport. We're in the entertainment business to entertain people, right? I'm not saying Cody does it for the entertainment purposes, but most of the other people, like you said, the new era do. And I'm not by any means, are they wrong or are they right or however they look, but at the end of the day, you know what I mean, our job is to be talent and sell fights, sell seats. You either hate them or you love them, but at the same time, you're still talking about them, and they're doing, you know, does that make sense? Like, I know it's not always what we want to say, and we want the respect and the humble person, but the humble person doesn't always, you know, maybe that humble person's got five kids to feed, and he's, you know, making 20 and 20 or whatever the case is, because he chooses not to talk trash or hype up his fights or do whatever, because at the end of the day, this is a spectator sport. And if someone wants to see you lose, that's still someone that's, you know, coming to be entertained and watch you get your ass kicked. It's or vice versa, watch you, you know, or if they like you. But it is a spectator sport. It's one thing I've had to come to learn, is to be as entertaining as possible while, you know, protecting myself at all times. And just like the show, that is an entertainment show for entertainment, to entertain you. So they're going to show all the shit of Cody, you know what I mean, to be the entertainment and make him to look however they do.
Well, I think the best way we can surmise this and move on, and I'm glad you touched on that aspect of it, because, you know, you look at the relationship that I've had with Dan Mergliot and the years that we go back, and he says, Don, remember when we used to buy our own plane ticket, pay our own way into the venue, pay for our own hotel and food just for an event that we were hired to work? And, you know, you take that old school part of the sport, and people like me, I'll be 51 on the 23rd of this month, and I've been in the business 21 years. Oh, thank you, bro. So you take it back to when we were in the sport and as we grew with the sport, and those things never were perplexed in those days. And then you move forward, and, of course, you get the internet and you get social media, and it creates a hype, and the sport goes from a sport to an entertainment aspect. And it's just part of life. It's part of evolution, and it's what's going to occur whether we like it or not. We either accept it or we move on. And you're right, because I've been at so many fights that the guys that are facing each other are talking so much head out there in front of the public, but the minute they get behind the wall, they're buddy-buddy again. And
it's just to hype the fight.
And so I like the way you came forth with that, because it shed some light for my listeners, for people that, you know, truly do like Cody Garbrandt and disillusioned by some of it. Now they got a better understanding of it. You know, one thing I kind of I like to touch on family and things of that nature sometimes. What were the thoughts of your family, Vince, when they found out that you wanted to take this road into a sport that is kind of devastating?
Well, my mom is actually my biggest supporter, and at first she thought I was absolutely crazy, didn't understand it, couldn't figure out why I wanted to do it, and just thought it was just pure nonsense at the time. But, you know, as time went on and she realized that I wasn't going to stop or give up and, you know, that I was doing well, that, you know, she's come to support, and she's just been very supportive of everything that I've ever done. But, you know, I didn't have a lot of support when I first started. I kind of did this on my own, and I liked that about myself. My dad was, you know, in and out of jail or whatever. So I just kind of, you know, this was my own little outlet. You know, when I first started, I want to say that MMA still really wasn't that popular. And people didn't, you know, when you told me fight, they didn't understand what you were talking about. So, you know, I wouldn't really talk about it too much because it just sounded dumb or barbaric, or I just felt like an idiot telling people that I fight. And they're like, you do what? You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, I mean, my parents, they're very supportive now. I come from a small family, so I wouldn't say, I got a decent hometown crowd, but as far as my family goes, I got a small family. They're supportive, though. Yes.
Yeah, and that's a tremendous aspect. You know, when you initially got this call from King of the Cage to face Archuleta, you know, it had to be a tremendous day for you because, like I stated earlier, not only is it a pivotal fight for you, a fight that can propel you. But from talking with you, you can tell it was a fight that you truly, you know, feel deserving, that you truly felt that you were entitled to. What did that moment mean to you, Vince, in all aspects?
Just to be able to, to me, I feel like it's the golden ticket, right? So it's like, it was almost like, you know, at the same time, there is the chance that I could lose or whatever, but I don't think about that. I only think about how much it's going to help me. You know what I mean? Like if I lose, I didn't deserve I didn't deserve it. But, the moment, I mean, it feels like this is everything I've ever wanted right in front of me. So it's like, fuck, I win this. I get everything I've ever wanted. What else? You know what I mean? So that's just how I wake up every day since I got the call, just feeling like that I've been given this somewhat of a opportunity and gift that to showcase my skills against a very tough opponent and a very you know what I mean, it matches well with me in my opinion, my style versus his. You know, some styles just don't match well, and in my opinion, I think this favors me. So you know, I've never lost a fight that I've prepared for. I'm preparing for this fight, so my losses are all short, 2 week short notices. Not that I have any excuses, but you know what I mean? I'm never out of the gym anyway, so I'll just know that I'm coming into this fight well prepared and very confident, and just, you know, just being able to get this opportunity is, you know what I mean? It's like almost, a dream come true is when I lay this dude out, but just happy to be able to get the chance to do it, you know?
Oh, yeah, I feel you there. You know what? I'm going to kind of give you a little tidbit of advice, and maybe this might, you might understand, and this might stick with you. And you know, I'm an old man, and I usually don't listen to anybody younger than me because, you know, I always look to the elderly people for, you know, knowledge and advice, because it's got me where I'm at in life. But there's a young UFC fighter by the name of James Krause, and he did a Q&A, and The guy asked him, what does it feel like to be 22-7? And James said, I'm not 22-7. I'm 22-0 with 7 lessons learned. So I looked at that analogy, and I had Krause on my show, and we talked about it. And, you know, I have to agree with James Krause. You know, I don't think any fighter ever loses. I think they learn a lesson. And the reason I say that, you look at your general person in life, They work a 9-to-5. They come home. They put the car in the garage. They shut the blinds, and they turn the world off. Then you've got fighters who generally work a 9-to-5, and all the other extra hours they got, they're in a gym, and you're willing to step up in an octagon for something that you have great passion for. So when you look at it in that instance, it can never be a loss. It can only be a lesson, because you've got more balls than 99.9% of the people that live in society, and you're willing to take your life that next step to be who you want to be. So you can never lose in that aspect.
That's a good advice. I appreciate that. It is very good advice. Yeah, you're right. I mean, everything, it's a lesson learned, that's for sure.
You know, I look at this fight, and stylistically, it's a very close fight, in my opinion. You know, I know Juan Archuleta just like you do. I think he's a tremendous individual in life. I think this is going to be a tremendous event for King of the Cage come July 8th. I think it's probably going to be one of their best cards that I've seen in a while. I'm so stoked to see this fight. You know, the enthusiasm that you bring and the intelligence that you have as a fighter, it's exceptional, and I appreciate it. You know, I didn't know what to expect because, you know, I'm transparent, so I'll let my listeners know I've never met you a day in my life. This was all set up through King of the Cage, so, you know, it was an honor to be able to bring you on. You know, and looking at everything that we talked about today, you know, it seems like the unique family quality of Team Alpha Male has helped you find who you are with your own style, and has emulated a young man that is destined for greatness, or at least knows the path that he wants to walk. When you look back at the sport, Vince, up to date, what would you say would be your greatest takeaway or your greatest moment, or just a moment that you look back and from time to time you reflect on?
Man, I would definitely, I wouldn't even say I reflect on any of my fights. I'm always looking to the future for those. I would say a lot of the moments and things that I look back and I haven't really thought about it as much as I probably should. And I'm glad you brought it up because it gives me a chance to think about that. You know, I reflect on being able to be a part of something so much bigger than myself and like Team Alpha Male, and it really is a family. You know, being able to our team banquets and you know, watching Uriah retire in his final fight, and you know, being able to train with guys like Joseph, who is no longer, you know, on the team, and you know, watching so many guys come through the gym and being able to meet so many guys that have traveled out here, and just to be a part of something bigger. So when I look back, nothing in particular stands out, but other than, you know, just my relationships with the guys on the team, that, you know, Lance Palmer and the friends and the bonds that I've made with some of the guys that are, you know, last literally a lifetime. I'm closer with some of these guys than family, because, you know, as I spoke on earlier, my family's not very big, so I think this has really done a lot as far as fill that gap. And you know, he's training with TJ. TJ's someone who I used to consider pretty close to me. You know, I consider myself one of his training partners, and worked very hard with him, and you know, we would hang out. Well, he was probably one of my first friends when I moved out here before, you know, I watched him climb the thing and get the belt. Same thing with Cody, you know what I mean? I was one of his first friends. Watched him whiz right by me and get the belt. And, you know, but I wouldn't say anything stands out in particular, man. The whole thing's just been one crazy, you know, ride. And I can't believe it's already been 6 years. And when I look back in like a whole, as a whole, and just really, really grateful to be a part of something so much bigger than me, and that's doing so good, and for not just me but other athletes, and just happy to be a part of this new era too, you know, because we're still doing great things, and you know, just you know, glad to be a part of a family.
Yes, and I truly understand that and respect that. You know, when you look at everything that you've been through and the road you're on, it's tremendous. If you had to make a statement, buddy, about what the fans, what King of the Cage, what the world can expect come July 8th, I know we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but what, if you had to surmise in a statement, what could they expect?
You know, if everything goes how I would, you know, expect it to go or how I plan for it to go, is a very, very high-paced, exciting fight. I mean, I can't expect nothing less for someone that comes in so much shape. I'm going to be throwing heat, as I always do. So, you know, it won't be boring. I can give you that much, you know what I mean? I wouldn't say, you know, don't look for a, you know, I don't plan on, you know, being laid and preyed on and being held down. So just expect an exciting fight and for me to come out banging. And I don't see it going five rounds. So, you know what I mean? Just be on the edge of your seat because, you know what I mean? It's going to be a very high-paced fight. We're two lightweight guys in the lighter divisions. And, you know, I should be fighting for all three of these belts, but fortunately it's just for one. Just expect a very high-paced fight. In the perfect world, you know, it ends in the first and with my hand raised. So, you know, we'll just have to see, you know. He's going to come out. He's a very game opponent and just excited to have the opportunity to fight against a guy like himself.
Oh, I hear you there. And, you know, I tell you, it's truly been my honor to have you on, buddy. The type of attitude that you have is truly tremendous. The mentality that you express towards your team and towards the sport in general is with great humility, and I think you've got a great, bright future in front of you. What I truly like to do at this point in time is, first and foremost, I like to thank you and appreciate you for coming on the show and taking time out of your life to join me and my listeners. But then I like to hand the microphone over to you, any friends, family, sponsors, social media sites, my friend, the floor is yours.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for having me again. I appreciate it. And, you know, if you guys want to follow me, you can follow me at Vince Murdoch, VinceMurdoc on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's much appreciated. Shout out to my sponsors would be Patino Diet, Mountain Lion Aviation, Everlast, drawing blank, Bar West, Memory Tag, let's see, Iron Bunny. Give a shout out to my team. You know, they've done a lot for me and they're always there for me. Shout out to my guys in Michigan. You know, I have never forgotten where I've came from. I'm forever grateful for Darren's guidance and, you know, Michigan top team and Fight Club Proving Grounds out there. And just, you know, let everybody know that I appreciate the support. And grateful to be here and put on for you guys.
Yes, sir.
That's a wrap.
Now, that's a wrap. Now, one more thing before we let you go, bro. Now, where could my listeners, you know, find you on social media?
At Vince Murdoch, again. It just about every social media as far as Twitter, Instagram, and even Facebook is just Vince Murdoch, V-I-N-C-E. And then Murdoch, M-U-R-D-O-C-K. One word if it's Twitter or Instagram.
Well, once again, buddy, thank you so much. I look forward to having you on either way after July 8th. Much luck to you going into King of the Cage. You truly deserve this night. Make this night be yours. On that note, brother, you have a good night and God bless.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate it. Tell Juan I said hi.
I will. Thank you very much, bro. Yeah.
All right, bye.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Vince Murdoch. You know, truly a tremendous young man. At this point in time, we're going to take a little brief intermission. When we come back, we'll have Juan Spaniard Archuleta.
Yeah. Said I'm riding around in my side of town. Can't even drive. And I'm chilling with a bad chick. She ain't even mine, So far up on the moon, I ain't even high. I know you're feeling that vibe. I know you're feeling that vibe.
Alright.
I know you're feeling that vibe. I know you're feeling that vibe. I know you're feeling that vibe. I know you're feeling that vibe.
This vibe music don't hate, homie, just nod to it. Aside from the fact they deny the movement, I ain't gotta prove that I'm the flyest nuisance. I supply the blueprints and still find a way to make rhymes abusive. And I'ma stay fly with these fine acoustics. No fear in my mind, cause the vibe is ruthless. I'm riding around with no license. Nah, me no fear, police sirens. Nah, I can't hear over the vibes arising. I'ma keep on riding till it's silent. I don't give a damn, cause I'm a tyrant. And I'ma stay on my grind till I retire. Said I've been in the lab, cause I'm a chemist. In fact, that mean I'm breaking it down.
And we're back. Let's go ahead and get one Archuleta.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Sorry, bro. Yeah, I had it on mute. I apologize. Welcome to
the Fighter's
Voice with Don McGuire. How you doing, bud?
Good. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing tremendous. We just got through finishing up with Vince Murdoch talking about your up-and-coming fight on July 8th.
Awesome.
What are your thoughts and perceptions going into July 8th, Juan?
Going into the fight?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm actually getting done with packing some stuff up to finish up my camp and then getting closer before I head out to New Mexico. But I'm excited. It's going to be an exciting fight. Vince is going to bring a fight, and I can't wait for it to go down.
You know, stylistically, you know, I think it's a great matchup, but looking at some of the thoughts of Vince Murdoch, you know, he said he's not prepared to let it go into the hands of the judges. What are your thoughts, Juan, when you hear your opponent make such a broad statement?
Oh, man. You know, it's exciting. That means he's going to bring a fight. You know, I expect it to go. I want it to go as long as possible. I want to, you know, really, you know, I like going into a fight and just making a long, drawn-out, just beat-up fight. And, you know, I don't expect anything less than going in there and getting 25 minutes in a fight because I love to showcase what I'm capable of doing and trying out all of my technique. And so when an opponent says, you know, he doesn't expect it to leave in the hands of the judges, it means he's going to come out and fight with emotion and fight with you know, trying to force something that's not going to be there for me. I'm just going to take one second at a time and go out there.
Are you there, buddy?
Yeah. You hear me?
Okay. Yeah, now I can.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, cutting in and out.
But, you know, I will be honest, and you know me, I'm transparent. He was not a smack talker at all in any aspect. He actually looked at this fight as a major stepping stone in his career. If in fact he is victorious, you know, it will propel him on not only the nationwide scene, but the worldwide scene as a mixed martial artist. You know, what does Juan Archuleta have to do to maintain the stamina, the capability of the Spaniard?
Man, I'm just, what am I going to have to do? I'm sorry, I cut out a little bit.
Yeah, well, because, you know, you talk to Vince, and he says he already knows that your wrestling is tremendous, that you're going to come out and you're going to try to grind him down. You know, when you look at it in that aspect, in the words of the gentleman that you set to face, would you say it's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm going to go and dictate a game plan until they stop it, and I have to make adjustments throughout the fight. I believe Joe Daddy Stevenson, Dwayne Ludwig, and TJ Dillashaw and Cub Swanson, they all are going to come up with a great game plan for me to go in there and dictate and, you know, make adjustments on the fly. And, you know, if he does stop the takedowns, if he does stuff the first two, more are coming. You know, I'm going to be able to, you know, keep pressing forward, keep my offense going, and keep a high tempo.
No, Juan, you look at your career, and, you know, I've had you on the show numerous times, and you look at your career, and you've had a tremendous career. You know, you're currently, if the stats are correct, you're currently sitting at 15-1. when you look, and that's been in a short period of time, you know, when you look at the ability and the talent that you've accrued, and then not only that, you look at the backing and support that you've got in the training, do you feel that this fight right here is going to propel Juan, the Spaniard Archuleta, to the place he needs to be in the sport?
Yeah, I believe every fight does, you know, because it's all relevant and in the present. You know, everyone wants to know what fight's coming up next and how is he going to do on that fight, you know, whether it be me, whether it be someone just signing to the UFC or, you know, to Bellator, you know, even on some of these other shows. Everyone wants to know, you know, not what happened their last fight, even though it plays relevance, but what's going to happen now, what's now that he got this coming up. So it is a huge stepping stone in my career, just like, you know, every fight, because I take it so personal and I take it, you know, that this guy's trying to take away everything that, you know, I'm building and everything that I have and everything I'm working for, which is for my family, for my coaches and for my teammates, you know, most importantly for God, you know. So I'm just going to go into it. Definitely, you know, give it my all. And I'm sure he is too.
Oh, and I agree with you. When you articulate it that way, you know, you're basically, you know, to make it as simple as possible, you're basically not going to let this man take the food off your table. And, you know, you've got to respect that in any man, because you look at any job in life and, you know, I'll use a scenario that I was in. I had hired my wife's uncle one time to come and work for me. And, you know, I told him, I said, you see that threshold right there? I said, on the outside of that threshold, you're my buddy. I said, the minute you step over that threshold, I said, I truly don't give two shits about you, to be quite honest. I said, because once you step over that threshold, you know, then you're messing with the food on my table. And I love the way you look at it, because in life, that's how life has to be. This is what you do for a living. You know, in getting prepared for this war for July 8th, you know, it was a tremendous honor for me to have King of the Cage, you know, let me represent both of you on my show. And, you know, because you truly are a humble warrior, and Murdoch truly is a humble warrior. He talks about the love, the growth, and he even, you know, talked about even training back with you maybe 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. What does it mean to you, Juan, when you do face opponents that you've worked with in the past, that you kind of get to like? How does that perplex once that cage door locks?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of been like a wrestling motto for a lot of these fighters now, you know, because wrestling, we have some of our best friends that we have to go up against and, you know, crush their goals and, you know, to accomplish ours. And so fighting's, you know, no different. It's no, for me, it's no disrespect or it's no, you know, it's nothing personal. It's just, we're all trying to achieve the same goal. And, you know, we're all trying to, you know, make it. And in order to do that, you know, sometimes friends or former teammates or former training partners, you come up against, and it's exciting because you know what each other's going to do. You know, you've worked out with them, you've trained with them, and you kind of know their personality. So now it's just like, oh man, like who's going to crack first, you know, who's going to be able to break through and get the win, or who's going to be able to, you know, look for the finish, or, you know, so it makes it more of an exciting, you know, game piece going in there.
Now, I have to agree with you. You know, me and you have a mutual friend in common, and I think he's a tremendous wrestler. I think he's a tremendous UFC fighter. You know, that being Tim Elliott, when you look at the friendship that you've learned to, you know, cherish with Tim Elliott, how much of Tim Elliott and yourself, Juan, have you perplexed, along with the other greats that you train with, into your training regimen?
Oh, a lot. I take a little bit of everyone, you know, that I've trained with, and definitely incorporated into my training camp. And even stuff that's, you know, out of the ordinary for me, or stuff that people wouldn't consider my style, I still do, because you never know when you're going to be able to pull it out, you know, in your bag of tricks, because sometimes you need it. Sometimes, you know, nothing's going your way in a fight. Sometimes me being solid, being basic and looking for a takedown, people are going to stuff and people are going to stop me. So what am I going to be able to do to break a rhythm? You know, throw a Cub Swanson cartwheel kick, you know, come at someone with halfway giving them my back like Tim Elliott, and hopefully they bite the bullet, and so it gets in the scramble, and you know, and then when you're in the scramble, you know, maybe something, you know, or in the middle of a mix, you know, you're able to think like TJ Dillashaw, where you're constantly throwing combinations and being able to cut angles and find that angle and be able to capitalize off it. Or if you're in a grappling match and all of a sudden, you know, the guy puts his foot in the wrong angle and you're able to hit a Joe Daddy Stevenson leg lock, you know. So it's always important to cover those bases, you know, and be able to have it in the bag of tricks, you know, just because you never know where the fight's going to lead.
Now, you know, I kind of want to take a step away from the sport for just a moment, Warren. You know, that's how my show rolls anyway.
Yeah.
You know, this last weekend we had Father's Day, which is truly a tremendous day, you know, for most of the fathers in America. You know, what does Father's Day represent to the Spaniard, and how did you celebrate it?
Oh man, being a father, you know, it's a little bit, you know, I hate when you know, they try to make my family tries to make a day about just me, because I love to celebrate it with everyone. So, you know, I had my family with me down in Orange County. I had to train. I trained twice that day, but they were still down there. We all celebrated. You know, we had a you know, our team had a family barbecue together, and, you know, my kids were there, and it was nice. You know, we got to train hard still, got to eat the proper way, got a barbecue, and then, you know, called my parents, told them I love them, called my dad and told them thanks for everything that he's done for me. And, you know, and it was a very accomplished day, that's for sure.
You know, the reason I ask, and I'm sure you may have seen my post that I did for my son. I'm not sure if you did or you didn't. But, you know, I basically apologized to my son. And you look at, I've been in this business for 21 years, and for the better part of that, I've always been on the road. I missed my son walking for the first time, riding bikes, swimming for the first time, and missed graduations and things of that nature. And, you know, we all do these things because we're true men. We believe in taking care of our family. And, you know, I felt, with my son being 31 years old, that it was time for me. I guess I found in my heart and myself the relevance of giving my son an apology for the days that I took from his life. When you look at the rigorous training that you do, being across country, being out of the country, being on the road all the time, how hard is it for you, Juan, being a father and being away and looking at those moments, you know, in your heart when you're alone in deep reflection?
Yeah, you know, sometimes you think about it, you sit down and, you know, you ponder on, you know, what is your family doing when you're gone, and, you know, you're by yourself, and especially, you know, as much as I drive and you know how it is, you're traveling so much, you know, your family is always the first thing you're thinking of. And, you know, and it does kind of make it, you know, a hiccup in the road and kind of sets you back, and you get teary-eyed thinking about it. And then I give them a call, I FaceTime them all, and I let them know that I love them so much, and that, you know, the reason why I'm not there right now is because, you know, we're making a brighter future together, where, you know, one day we're going to be able to spend every day together, you know. And the times I do get to spend with them are truly priceless. You know, they're all surrounded by me, filling me with love and joy and kisses and hugs, and, you know, they don't want to leave my side, but, you know, when it's time to leave, they don't want me to go. They're, you know, hanging on my door when I leave the house, and they got to shut the door for me. And when I roll down the window, they're still hanging on the door.
Can you hear you, but,
yeah, you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, you know, it's a humbling experience, and you got to know why you're in the sport for, you know, and you got to know why you're doing it, and I know why I'm doing it. I'm doing it for my family, and so I could secure a better life for them down the road.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of what I was kind of leading into, and that's what makes days like July 8th that much more sweeter and resonate that much more in the heart of the Spaniard, you know, because you do go through so much trials and tribulation in this sport, and, you know, a lot of people think what they see on TV, it's you know, it's the weekend, the fighters train and this and that, but they truly don't realize what goes into a fight camp, what it really takes for a fighter to perform that one night every month and a half or every 3 months. They see what they see on TV and they take it for that. In reality, they don't realize how much the fighter gives up to let the world see the sport that they truly love. And I, for one, want to commend you on the passion that you show the sport, that you show other fighters. There hasn't been a fighter that I think I haven't interviewed you. Between you and Joe Stevenson, I think that you two probably have worked with more fighters than anybody I know in the country. I mean, I ask guys about you, and they're like, oh, my God, you know, Juan's tremendous. Joe Daddy Stevenson is great. And, you know, not only are you maintaining and building a career, you're changing lives of the new fighters coming up. You're changing lives of the current fighters. What does it mean to you, Juan, to be able to give back not just to the sport, but in life in general?
Man, it's you have to, you know, you got to understand what people do, what people, you know, sacrifice to make their dreams come true. You know, I'm sure, you know, like Vince Murdoch, the opponent I'm fighting, shoot, he left his town in Michigan just to go to Sacramento and be around the best team in the world. You know, you got other fighters, you know, I know one personally, Roger Shippen, that left his home in California and didn't know anyone in Australia and went out there and trained and, you know, sacrificed everything he knew just to try to get around a different atmosphere of fighting and a different atmosphere of people just to make himself better. So once you understand what people are sacrificing, you know, you can't help but not want to help them, you know, and it's just like, you know, if I could spread knowledge to these guys and help expedite their goals or help expedite their dreams and ambitions of becoming great, and I might have, you know, a word or two or a move or two that I could show them that's going to expedite it, then, you know, by all means, that's what God put me here to make better men and better women out of, you know, people and, you know, being able to give back just like he's given so much to me. And that's why the opportunity continues because, you know, you're able to give others opportunity to become great. And when you make your whole team great or you make the whole sport great, then, you know, you can't help but make yourself great. And, you know, that's what it's truly about.
Yeah, and that's what makes July 8th that much more sweeter. You know, Juan, if you could take one situation, one moment, one fight, whatever it may be, and this is, this is a Barry Frost question, my mutual partner in crime on my boxing show. But if you could take one moment, one thought, or even a fight, or whatever it may be that you could put in a time capsule for future generations to open up and look at and realize who Juan Archuleta is, what would that be?
Man, it would have to be the moment I woke up and, you know, I realized that I had a 104-degree fever and I had a stomach flu, and Joe wanted to cancel the fight. Joe Daddy Stevenson said, "Hey, we gotta cancel this fight. There's no way you're gonna fight." And I said, you know what? All my family's here. My fans are here. You know, I can't let them down. You know, I don't want to let them down. You know, and I told them I've done it before. I've competed while I was sick, and, you know, I'm going to do this. And so I went out there, and, you know, I was throwing up on the warm-up, and I just had to sit down, and I went out there cold turkey, and I just told Joe, I said, I just gotta go in there cold. And the first combination I threw, I broke my hand, and, you know, and I fought through the round, and then the next round I was lifting my opponent up off a double leg, and I threw up in my mouth, and I had to bring the guy back down, and swallow my throw up and, you know, just hold myself in position and let him win out the round. And then the next round I had to, you know, secure the fight. And, you know, it gave everything. I it was like a testament of like, let's strip all this away from you and let's see how bad you really want to fight. Cause I had prayed about it. You know, I was going back and forth between quitting my job and going full-time fighting. And, you know, and when I had prayed about it, this had happened, and I was like, okay, this is my true testament. This is my true test. You know, at least that's what I thought, you know, that's what I believed. And, you know, and so far after that, it was just like, okay, now I knew what I had to do in a fight to actually win, you know? So that's one thing. If I could put in time capsule and share any of my fights that I've had thus far, that would be the number one fight I'd love to share.
I love that, man. That's truly a cool story because it really emulates who you are. You know, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Vince because it's only fair. You know, I asked him if he could give a statement about the fight coming July 8th in King of the Cage, Chosen Few. I said, what would that statement be? And now I'm going to give you the same opportunity. If you had a, you know, opportunity to make a statement to the fans, to the fighters, to anybody in general about what's going to occur on July 8th, what would that statement be, Juan?
You know, the next statement or the next step towards greatness. You know, defending what all of my team has helped me accomplish thus far, and what we will continue to accomplish. You know, and it's just going to be the next bigger step to the road to glory, you know, that's given to God, you know, and and it's going to be fun. It's going to be, you know, definitely excitement, you know, the Chosen Few, you know, King of the Cage, they do such a great job in picking the right fights and putting them together for matchmaking and putting on a great card and picking great styles to, you know, complement each other and going out there and giving great fights. And, you know, this fight card is not going to be any different. You know, it's going to be explosive. There's going to be great fights going on. There's some guys on there that are some great superstars in the making, you know, and I believe Vince is one of them as well. And that's why they, you know, canceled the fight I had before at 155 and asked me to drop down to 145. And when I heard it was Vince, and, you know, I know how much of a great fighter he is, you know, I couldn't help but be excited and ecstatic for it. And, you know, switch my whole camp around to, you know, from getting sized up to, you know, pulling back and cutting the weight down to, you know, give the fans the most exciting fight I could possibly, you know, take right now.
Yeah. No, Juan, let's be completely honest here. You know, you're of, you know, Spanish descent. You know, you look at the way we eat and the foods we love, and you fight in three different weight classes, brother. How hard is it when you do get a short notice fight in a different weight class for you to get that cut in or get them extra pounds on?
Yeah, everything I do is so mathematically figured out and scientifically computed for me that it is, you know, when that last second fight comes or the last adjustment comes, I'm seriously on a strict schedule because everything has to be so precise. I want to go in there pound for pound the strongest I feel. If that's being 135 or being 155, up to 155, I want to be able to be the strongest one Archuleta that I can to go in there and give myself the best opportunity to win the fight. So, you know, it is tough on the short note. This fight, I kind of prefer, you know, a 6-week gap in between my fights. Sometimes it doesn't happen that I have 3 weeks or, you know, they let me know 2 weeks and I still take them because I know I'm capable. I stay hungry and I stay training. So, you know, it's pretty rigorous to, you know, jump around, but, you know, well worth it for sure.
Yeah, you know, well, I admire you because 1 week you're in the Ultimate Fighter House, the next week you're fighting in Lithuania, the following, you know, a day or two later you're cornering Tim Elliott and UFC, KC. I mean, it's tremendous, the schedule that you maintain, and you know, the pursuit of your passion is just second to none, you know, and I commend you on that because, one, you look back, okay, you've been a wrestler your whole life, but if you truly look at the mixed martial arts aspects of it, you know, on paper, you know, you go back three and a half years, you know, it's got to be a pivotal moment for you as a man when you take a step back from time to time and you look at what you've accomplished in such a short period of time and where you're at now. Now you're set to face Vince Murdoch, who's 10-3. He's a tremendous fighter that's gunning for you. He's gunning to take your strap. You know, when you look back at everything, how would you say that you're best suited moving forward come July 8th? And how much has this movement in the last 3 years meant to you?
It's meant a lot. You know, I've literally started from nothing, left Purdue where I was in trouble and I was incarcerated and came out with, and leaving Indiana and came back to California with literally nothing. So, you know, it was a clean slate. I knew that I had to have a strong team, a strong supportive family team, a family-oriented team around me, and I had to take out all the negatives and, you know, keep looking towards the positive and just be a positive person. So it wasn't too much what I've accomplished more than what my team's been able to help me and help all of us accomplish together. And so, you know, to say I've done it by myself would be foolish. And, you know, so, you know, I just thank them so much for all the support and all the love and, you know, and everything they do for me, because without them, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now, definitely. And, you know, even those guys at, you know, Alpha Male and, you know, all the way down from, you know, the East Coast all the way over to the West Coast, everyone has played a huge factor into my fighting style and what I've accomplished so far. And, you know, I'm truly thankful for them, because without the support of all those guys, I'd just be another, you know, another fighter with, you know, a lopsided record, you know, probably with a lot more losses than I do have right now. So, you know, it's just been a team affair that what I've gotten to right now.
It's been a family affair, bro. It's been a family
affair. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You truly have been embraced and been entitled and been equally embraced back by the sport. As I stated earlier, you've surrounded yourself by some of the greatest fighters the sport has ever known, you know, in the past and current, and it's tremendous to see you get where you're at in life. You know, I know we just had you on not too long ago, but I thought it was a great opportunity, as me and you spoke yesterday with your opponent coming on. I thought it was only fair that I give you the opportunity to come on after him and you know, give your thoughts of this upcoming, you know, war. And I truly appreciate that. At this point in time, what I'm going to do, Juan, is I'm gonna ask you to give me a statement. And, you know, bro, I always put you on the spot because I can't. But, you know, if you could tell your family how grateful you are for allowing you to let you live your dream and how much it meant and means to you to have the support going into the future, what would that statement be?
Thank you. You know, thank you for, you know, letting me and supporting me in my goal to become great in a sport that I love, in a competition sport, individual sport that takes more than the individual. You know, I just, you know, so blessed and so fortunate to have the support that I do now. So just thank and love them all. And, you know, I can't wait to see where this road's going to take us, you know. And I know it's going to, you know, I'm not looking for riches and glory, you know, all the riches and glory and stuff like that. I just want to, you know, have fun and have love and, you know, show what I'm capable of doing and, you know, and just to be able to support and, you know, be able to go out there and give back to people, you know, so just thank them for that opportunity.
That's definitely very, very well said. You know, I looked at this card when King of the Cage hit me, and It truly, I think to date, I have to agree with you. I think it's one of the best cards to date thus far. I think this card is truly stacked. And then to have you and Murdoch top it off, I think it's going to be a very pivotal night for the sport, especially King of the Cage and anybody associated with it. But, you know, I'm going to do something kind of stupid here because I want to see how much Juan Archuleta knows King of the Cage, the operations of it. I'm going to play a short little – actually, it's my new intro. And
okay. Since
you're so affiliated with King of the Cage, I want to see if we can – we're going to play Name This Voice real quick just because it's my show and I can do what I want to do. Here we go.
All right.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
All right, Juan, name that voice.
That's the man of Mr. Inman Productions, a.k.a. Johnny Apple, a.k.a. Steve Inman.
Right on, my brother, right on. Yeah. he knows his trivia. You know, it's truly an honor, you know, when for me to be able to have somebody like Steve Inman, you know, Detective Jimmy Apple, do my show intros. It, you know, now you can tell Cub Swanson, you know, he has to come on the show now. I got an official show intro instead of just coming out with music, so he can't give me crap no more in that aspect.
Oh yeah, okay, but yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think this is going to be a tremendous night for you. Either way, you know, what you've done for the sport has been nothing short of tremendous. You truly are a great warrior, a humble warrior of God. You're a true family man, and you're a blessing in life in many aspects. You know, what I thought I was going to get tonight out of Vince Murdoch and the show just was total. I was totally off base. You know, he came out to be a humble man who spoke of training with you in the past and you training with his teammates. And, you know, like I stated, you know, he said the only thing like a true warrior would say that I'm not going to walk away with the lesson learned, you know, and I know you feel the same way. So when you look at it in that aspect, this is truly going to be a pivotal night for both of you. You know, both of you can make leaps and bounds, however this may play out. You know, when you look at it in that, aspect, what would be the greatest thought of Juan Archuleta stepping into the octagon that night?
Man, it's going to be, you know, going out there and showcasing everything I've worked so hard for to this point and being able to utilize new technique and new skill set just to honor my coaches, honor God and my family. And it's going to be, you know, it's just going to be a great tribute to who and what we have done as a team and, you know, our opponent too. We're going to go in there. You know, you don't get to fight someone for 25 minutes and not get to know the person, you know, through that 25 minutes. It's some of the closest bonding you could do with another human being. And it's truly, you know, gratifying. And that's why there's so much sportsmanship and fighting at the end of the fight, because you really get to know who that person is and, you know, where each other's breaking points are.
You know, very well said. You know, Juan, I know you're very busy in life, and I know you got to get finished getting your meal preps and things done. I first and foremost, I want to thank you for coming on the show again and being such a humble guest and a tremendous friend in life. You know, I am truly blessed by knowing you and the others that we know in the sport. There's very few that I cling to, and, you know, I'm honored to call you a brother because you truly are what the sport is about. You truly are what life is about. You know, you're a tremendous individual, and I look forward to great things from you in the future, you know, and I look forward for you to have a tremendous outing come July 8th. You know, now where can people get, now that it's the poster's out and everything, you know, I didn't really look at that stuff, where can people get tickets for this event on July 8th, and how can you get credit for those, bro?
They could inbox me through Facebook or Instagram at Juan Archuleta. Or I'm going to be out there you know, by July 4th, and, you know, I'll have a booth set up where I'll be selling tickets, and even through King of the Cage, you know, you could, if they really want to get them as soon as possible, the best way to get them will be through King of the Cage, but otherwise they could inbox me or they could contact me, and they could, you know, let me know that they're interested in showing up.
Yes, sir. Now I'm going to get my Rise of the Spaniard shirt after this fight, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Especially because we're going to get a bunch of them made. So.
Yes, sir. I'm going to have this put in a box, bro. I'm going to have you sign it like I did Stitch. And I'm,
oh, yeah.
You know, Stitch actually got mad at me. I got the first run of the Stitch key, and I posted it, and he called me up. He said, Carnell, how in the hell are you going to get my shirt before I even did? And I was like, man, you talk to your sponsor, bro.
I got connections.
Yeah, well,
sure.
Connected, bro. Well, but, you know, to take it even further, you know, there's very few fighters that I like to call family. I mean, I have a lot of friends in life, but there's very few that I call family. And you and Professor Stevenson are truly one of them. You know, Juan, you're an exceptional man, like I said, in life. Oh, you're welcome, sir. You know, going into this event, I think it's, like I said earlier, it's going to be a tremendous night. I think it's going to be one of the best cards that King of the Cage has had, you know, thus far this year. And I think it's going to be a pivotal moment for you. With that being said, bro, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. Any friends, family, social media, or any, just anything you would like to add to the program? The floor is yours, sir.
Oh, yeah, I just definitely want to thank the audience for tuning in and, you know, being able to, and thanks to the Fighter's Voice for being able to have, you know, the main event at King of the Cage on behalf of King of the Cage. Thank you guys for having us on here and being able to promote our fight. You know, we're truly blessed to have a guy like Don McGuire being able to pump our show up for us and, you know, who we are as fighters. So thank you guys very much. And all the support system that I have, my family, my friends, you know, my sponsors, you know, they all know who they are, you know, my teammates, my coaches, you know, we definitely don't do it without each other. So, you know, I'm just truly honored and blessed, and all glory to God. And, you know, thank you again for having us on.
Oh, it's just truly an honor, my friend. My show is your show. With that being said, I know you're very busy in life, and I know your time with your family is very short, and I don't want to take any more of that away from you than I already have. Thank you once again, Juan. I wish you the best of luck come July 8th. We'll be in touch on the phone, of course. But for now, good night and God bless, my brother.
All right. Thank you, sir. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Juan, the Spaniard Archuleta. Truly a great, great, great man with great integrity. You know, Vince Murdoch truly shocked me tonight. You know, generally when you bring on the main event of a tremendous card like this that King of the Cage has presented me with, and thank you, Mr. Lawrence, for the respect, and King of the Cage for giving me the honor for promoting your show and your main event. It truly means a lot to me. It kind of tells me what I'm doing on the program is right. But, you know, it truly is just a blessing for me in life to be able to share these fighters. And, you know, I couldn't do it without Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, the United Way Merced. Thank you, Steve Inman, for getting my intro done. Check out Detective Jimmy Apple on Amazon Video. Truly a tremendous program. You'll be laughing your ass off. I promise you that much. Look forward to King of the Cage, July 8th. Chosen Few. It's going to be a tremendous card. You got Team Alpha Male in the house with Mr. Murdoch. You got three-division champion and Juan Spaniard Archuleta. It's not a fight you're going to want to miss. With that being said, thank you to all my guests this evening. Thank you to the 86ers.net, the United Way Merced, Affliction. Man, what a show. I'm truly blessed. I'm going to take this out with a little bit of old school and Tupac. You have a good night, and God bless.
You all appreciate it.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, I'm scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day, running from the police. That's right, mama catch me, put a whooping to my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen. Mama, I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you.